It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence, and I'm really excited to introduce you to two players of a five-member ensemble called the Imani Winds, a name that should be so familiar to many longtime listeners at WMUK. In the studio here, I have horn player Jeff Scott and bassoonist Monica Ellis, and it's great to see you here back in Kalamazoo.
Thank you. Thanks to be here.
You're performing with Imani Winds tonight at Western Michigan University. Let's make sure everyone knows right away. 7:30 p.m., music starts. The program starts with a piece by Jeff Scott. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to arrive at 7, you'll be available for a live and interactive session as well. It is a ticketed event, and tickets are available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium box office. But the venue is the Dalton Center Recital Hall. I just want to get caught up as pals in a way, even though you don't know or remember me. But I feel like I've been kind of tracking Imani Winds for a long time. Mm-hmm. This group started in New York City. A lot of conservatory trained musicians getting together and saying, I think the world needs a new wind ensemble. Mm-hmm. And let's put together some of our great ideas and bring together not only players, but composer players, arranger mm-hmm. players mm-hmm. that can establish an ensemble and a sound mm-hmm. that takes the group, the idea of a wind quintet forward. Mm-hmm. And you really have. It's been 21 years.
Yeah. You say it really beautifully. I have to say, I love the way you described it. You know, better than we have in a lot of ways. And bringing together of ideas. And like you said, musical thoughts, and I would also add one more thing to it, is cultural thoughts and cultural relevance to music, and more specifically to classical music, and let's show that various cultures can actually exist in this wide term that we have deemed classical music. You know, I think a lot of people think about that and think old dead white dudes from, you know, the 1800s and frankly that is true. That is quite accurate, but it's so much more than that. And I think over the years, in the beginning as well as over the years, we've tried to establish how that difference is and how that difference can be manifested through the wind quintet and through these instruments. And of course, just our kinship and our friendship that we have amongst each other.
Friendship and work.
Mm. Yes. A lot of work.
Val, it's funny because, Valerie Coleman Page, our flutist and founder of the group, she had the whole idea from the very beginning. And I tell the story all the time that I specifically remember telling one of my best friends in New York City after about, I'd say, 3 or 4 rehearsals with the group in the very beginning, that Valerie had come in with this whole this plan of attack on how she was going to, you know, have this whole career with this quintet, and that we were going to tour like this, and we were going to play this many concerts, and we're going to make this much money. And there was no precedent for it. So I remember saying, this girl's crazy. She saw all this.
I
don't know
imagine.
How, but she did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is built like that to...
Yeah, that's the essence of a visionary. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think all of us have the different tools and different skills. And I always like to say that one of the reasons that I think we've lasted so long is that there's not one artistic director. You know, each of us take on different roles just to keep things running, of course, keep the group going. But all of us have the same say when it comes to the artistic vision of the group, as well as the programming. You know, what exactly are we going to play? What commissions are we going to go after composer wise? We all have a stake in that. And so as a result, everyone has equally felt the need to keep it moving, as opposed to just one director, you know, and that's when I think sometimes groups can have, you know, personnel changes or not be as successful when you're just don't have that vested interest. Mm-hmm. And we all have had that over these years.
You've also had the added responsibility for being kind of the vanguard people of color to mm-hmm. be playing this style of music, serious music, art music, and not only playing it well, but pushing the frontiers a little more. And you have added to the repertoire quite significantly. I've already mentioned your own works, arranging and composing, but it's interesting that you have found friends in the jazz world to take on this ensemble and treat it as both classical and a jazz mm-hmm. ensemble. That's mm-hmm. really remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what ended up happening was that the group, because of our makeup and our backgrounds, we found that a lot of the underrepresented musics and composers were from, you know, basically brown folks, you know. And so we started commissioning composers really because we just wanted to show the underrepresented voices out there. They saw it as an opportunity to really almost continue something that started years ago. If you remember this whole stream, this whole style of music that was called like third stream, where you had Gunther Schuller, composers were taking the jazz idiom but really putting it through the channels of European style training and so forth and voicings and so on. And I wouldn't say that the composers like Paquito and Jason Moran and so forth are trying to write in a classical style, but they're riding the fence. They're throwing their hat in and trying to put their experiences through our voice of the quintet, as best as it possibly could be demonstrated. And it's this amazing synthesis. And I think what's come out of it is just really special music, you know. And I think it has changed the way people view the wind quintet, because up until that point, we were playing a lot of Rika, a lot of Donzi. It's beautiful music, but it didn't represent those voices, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. these are composers of the 19th century, and you were mentioning the dead white guys. A lot of those dead white guys, unfortunately, focused on string quartets rather yes. than wind quintets, yep. too. So
right.
it is like you needed a fresh catalog.
Yeah.
And that's the work you did.
Yeah, and that's interesting in and of itself, as you say, that even if we did want to focus on strictly European music, it would be a real challenge. It just does not exist. The more you sort of dig stuff, unearth things, you do see that there's a lot of music out there that people just may not know about that's kind of sitting in libraries around the world. We've found, you know, French composers, interestingly enough, that have, say from the French Paris Conservatoire tradition that actually wrote wonderfully for winds, that mm-hmm. few quintets out there. But yes, as a whole, you don't really, we just do not have those composers that wrote for the quintet. So you're exactly right. You do have to establish a new ideal, a new catalog of sorts. And if you do want to make a career out of this, which somehow we've decided we did, and, you know, crazy enough.
Well, you did have Valerie, I guess,
we
too.
We did.
Which too could sell you on the plan.
That's right. Yeah, she'll sell ice to Eskimos in a second. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Monica Ellis is the bassoonist of Imani Winds, and Jeff Scott is the horn player of Imani Winds. They're performing tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall with a pre-concert talk at 7. And details are online at millerauditorium.com. That's the box office website. Why don't we listen to a piece? I think I queued up a Jeff Scott piece here. This would go way back to when I first knew you guys. That's called Titilayo.
Titilayo, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the program tonight starts with a whole new piece by you. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Oh, the piece tonight?
Starting something.
Again, talking about, you know, riding the fence a little bit with jazz and classical. And so I took the idiom of jazz shuffle, sort of the 1930s, 40s style of jazz music, and put it through a whole new European modern twist of harmonization. Yeah, you're going to have to come and hear the concert if you really want to know more about it. So.
Didn't you say you played it on Performance Today, or there was they used a concert recording?
I think they used a concert recording.
Yeah. I believe it was from our Chicago concert, one of our Chicago concerts from last year. We've been at the University of Chicago for residency for the last 2 years, and we performed it in last January, and I want to say that was that concert.
Okay, well, after we hear this early Jeff Scott piece, we'll come back and talk about the recent residency in Chicago and more about tonight's concert with Monica and Jeff of Imani Winds. That's a piece by Jeff Scott called Titilayo, and we are listening to the Imani Winds with two members of the group, Jeff Scott himself and Monica Ellis, and the five of members of the group will be on stage tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Details are online at the School of Music website, and the tickets are available at MillerAuditorium.com. And we were just going to pick up again with the residency that Imani Winds is currently filling out at the University of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. It's been an incredible opportunity that they asked us to be what they call the Don Michael Resident Ensemble. It's a 2-year stint, and we're in the second year now. So we've been there since 2016 and 3 separate visits over each year. So it's been great to just kind of be a part of the music community and the larger, even Hyde Park community right there. So we've been in there the fall, winter, and spring visits. And so we just finished our winter visit of the second year. So we've got one more visit coming up in May. And the performance arm of the University of Chicago is called UC Presents. And they've been a part of our commissioning efforts as well. So we just give all thanks to them, particularly Amy Iwano, who is the director of UC Presents. Last year, for instance, we had a brand new piece by Valerie Coleman, a sextet this time for piano and winds, and another wonderful composer named Courtney Bryan. And they both were celebrating the life of Gwendolyn Brooks, poet laureate, who would have turned 100. And she's a Chicago native, and big celebrations were going on all around the city. So they wrote pieces in celebration of that. And come this May, we are going to premiere a brand new piece by Pulitzer Prize winner Henry Threadgill, jazz composer, as well as do some arrangements that Jeff did way back of for quintet and choir, some spirituals. Mm-hmm. Another awesome piece by Vijay Iyer, speaking of incredible jazz musicians that we premiered some years ago, also for sextet. So it's been a wonderful journey and collaboration to work with their students, their composers. We've premiered brand new pieces from their PhD composition department. It'll be kind of sad to not go back again. But I know Chicago's not too far from here, so please check out our website. It's the first week of May. If folks want to come on over to the UC campus, it'll be beautifully spring then. So yeah. It'll be a nice, nice drive around the lake.
Hey, have you had a chance to work with Western students, wind players or others yet?
On this trip, actually, as we speak right now, some of our colleagues are doing coachings with wind players.
Oh,
like right now over in the next building. So I think you can ask them later.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're enjoying themselves.
I'm sure they'll get so much out of that. Mm-hmm. So you are still based in New York City area, yeah?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Did any of you actually grow up in the Midwest or near Chicago or...?
Well, Mark, our clarinetist, is a Michigan boy. He grew up in Ann Arbor and went to the University of Michigan. Go Blue.
Yep.
And I can only say that because I have no affiliation to any of it. So,
yeah,
you know,
careful.
I know.
You're in Bronco.
I know. We're in this is dangerous territory. I know to say that. So I tread trepidatiously. He's a proud Michigan boy. And Mark Dover, that's our clarinetist. He's been with us now for over 2 years. So he's the newest member of the group.
Oh, yeah.
There had not been any change in the personnel for the 17 plus years before that. But he's just incredible. I grew up in Pittsburgh, which we claim we're still on the East Coast, but we're practically the Midwest.
Yeah. So
45 minutes from the Ohio border, you know, we're kind of almost Midwest. And the rest of us are from different parts of the country. But so it's on behalf of Mark, it is nice to be back in the state of Michigan.
as the Imani Winds, where are some of the places, you far-flung places, you have been able to travel and perform?
Most recently, I have to say, the most fascinating place was New Zealand.
Wow, that's all the way across the world.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Traveling there alone is just a tour in itself. I want to say it was 2 weeks we toured, mm-hmm. 2 weeks total.
Almost three weeks.
Almost 3 weeks. Fascinating country, and fortunately, the concert schedule, the tour schedule was such that we had time to actually see a little bit of the country, which was just amazing. And mm-hmm. I highly recommend it to anybody that's never been to New Zealand. But we've been to China. We've been to many countries in Europe, Spain and France and so forth. And we've been very fortunate, you know, I have to say. This is not, like I said earlier, it wasn't something that you could have foresaw. It wasn't in the scope.
You still
look
surprised.
You know, a wind quintet. You know, you see these things for string quartets and piano trios and major soloists. And again, you know, we're praising Val, but it's just really that she had this vision that it was possible. Just goes to the kind of visionary that she is, and she made it all possible for us. Really,
it may have looked like there wasn't room for a group like this, but it turns out there was all the room in the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And even presenters are looking for something to make their season sparkle.
And
the Imani Winds came along at the perfect time.
I think you're right that audiences expect for presenters to stay with the times, I think. And some audiences are just fine with being, you know, just kind of status quo. And I like my Beethoven, I like my Mozart, and let's just keep it right there. But more and more, I think classical music follows the path of more modern, more pop music in a way that it just, things shift, you know, tastes change. And it's important for presenters, I think, to stay aware of that. And the really great ones out there, which there are dozens and dozens around the country, we can attest to it, do recognize that. And I think will sort of the adventurous ones will know, let's push this a little, like you were saying before, let's challenge our audiences, because we know that they can take it, if you will. You know, the world is changing. The country is so diverse now, and you know, there's a need to recognize that, and so we're really grateful when that has occurred.
I would say, as a person who enjoys the concerts, I kind of want it all. I do, mm-hmm. I do want to stay grounded in the tradition that brought us here, the, mm-hmm. the Beethovens and mm-hmm. everything, and hear that music. But I also don't want to get left behind. I want to see what the newest thing is too, mm-hmm. and so if a presenter ignores that, I'll start thinking, hey, why are you not giving us what's happening now and the great players that can bring new life to the works that got us here. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
It's like your stock portfolio. You know, you have to diversify. You know, my financial consultant just was telling me, no, just joking. You're too much of one thing, it might fall, it might crash.
Right.
You know,
right.
you got to diversify.
I agree, Monica.
But you know, seriously though, I want to say that for us personally, there's some groups that strictly do things that are, you know, want to talk about time periods that are early music specialists, you know, and that's all, and it's absolutely just exquisite music. And then there's the more you'll hear, maybe Shostakovich will be the most modern thing that a string quartet will play, but can stick in the tradition more so. And then there are the ultra modernists that only play music that's the fresh ink stuff, you know, that has just been written. And I think what has been a part of our longevity is that we kind of mix it up. And so tonight's program, for instance, is an example of that, where we're playing, like you just were talking about, a brand new piece by, well, not all that new, but still 5 years old. That's mm-hmm. brand new. by Jeff Scott, another original by Valerie that's also about 5 or 6 years old. But then we have this incredible arrangement of none other than Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. And in the last few years, we've gotten into these huge orchestral works being pared down to the quintet, and sort of seeing how that can occur, and if it's possible, does it work? What kind of piece can do that? And we've had really great success with one we did first, The Rite of Spring, that you were mentioning before, and that went over well. We're still very much part of our rep, and now Scheherazade. And because it's so inherently wind heavy to begin with, it really works as a chamber work. It really, really does. I think we've had some excellent success with it. So people will still hear something familiar, but still be introduced to a lot of other new styles and new sounds and new music. And so it's that mixed bag of programming that I think has brought us back. presenters say, okay, they're going to give us something new, but still kind of give the audiences that more grounded classical foundation that we can depend upon.
All the violinists out there are wondering who gets the.
It's the flute line. It's the flute line. Yep, definitely that.
You'll just have to show up tonight and see how it's handle it. Yeah. Concert begins at 7:30. At 7 o'clock, though, there's a meet and greet, get to know the Imani Wins session at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And details are on the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. And tickets are through the MillerAuditorium.com box office. Program begins with a piece by Jeff Scott, Startin' Somethin'. And then we hear Scheherazade. And then an Astor Piazzolla piece. You are no strangers to Mr. Piazzolla. Although this one is not one I recognize the title of, this contra.
Oh, Contrabassissimo. Oh, that's just, if you have a second, because it's a great story behind it, that the bass player in Astor Piazzolla's ensemble got frustrated not getting any solos. So he asked Astor to write him a feature, and he wrote Contrabassissimo, contrabass, and issimo, which basically means a whole lot. And so it works really well because they can give the big solo to Monica. So yeah, they got to come and hear that. It is a fascinating work. Fascinating work.
Well, I'm spending a wonderful morning here with members of Imani Wins, Monica Ellis and Jeff Scott, and I think we'll take a quick musical break here. Well, not so quick, because this is a significant piece that you commissioned from a great jazz artist, Wayne Shorter. Tell us a little bit about his biography, accomplishments.
Man, talk about needing. Yeah, exactly. Needing the rest of this day to do that. Just an incredible icon of jazz, now in his 80s, the early days of the Miles Davis Quintet, and then, of course, his incredible work with Weather Report, his fusion band of the 80s and 90s. And then now in his later years, and really for the last 20 years, he's just been making the absolute sublime music with the Wayne Shorter Quartet. Danilo Perez on piano, John Patitucci on bass, Brian Blade on drums. And we were just kind of pinch me moment approached by a wonderful presenter, speaking of those, named Mary Lou Aleski, who has been with a number of different organizations, but at the time she was with La Jolla Chamber Fest, the director there. And so now over 10 years ago, this piece has been in our rep. She actually invited him to write for us and asked if we would like to participate in that commission. And, you know, a little bit of, it's like when the president calls you, not that he ever had, right. But you know, when people get calls and they just hang on, they're like, stop messing with me. You know, they think it's their friend pranking them. Right. And, you know, so, we just were convinced that was the case. But lo and behold, he agreed and really enjoyed writing this wonderful piece called Terra Incognita. We premiered it there. Herbie Hancock came to the premiere, you know, little stuff like that. His best friend out in LA, in La Jolla, outside of San Diego. But just a totally incredible thing. That led to us touring with Wayne and the quartet for a number over the course of, say, 4 years, various times throughout that time period. We were around Europe and Disney Hall, Carnegie Hall, and Hollywood Bowl. So just an absolutely mind-boggling, career-changing experience. Yeah, so, yeah. And we have this wonderful piece that he had never written for any group that he did not play in at one point in time. You know, obviously his catalog is immense, and he's got jazz standards that, you know, that are just that, standards in the repertoire, but he's always played in those groups. So we are just over the moon still after all these years.
So that even he was branching out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
To
exactly.
produce this piece.
And I should just quickly add that I think this piece in a way led to him himself continuing to branch out and writing for orchestra and writing and including the quartet within that group and I think he's writing an opera now or something.
Yes.
You know,
holy
just
cow.
I don't want to say we were the first, but you know, I think his mind
was part of that
evolution. Mm-hmm. 10-12 years ago of him wanting to continuously expand. So it's a gorgeous work that we're so blessed and honored to have in our repertoire.
And there's something so significant about the title. It's Terra Incognita, like unknown world.
Unknown earth, unknown world. And if you know anything about Wayne Shorter, it's very apropos. He fluctuates on a completely different frequency than the rest of us.
Yes.
He's an extremely special human being, and to have him be called a friend is an honor.
Well, we'll be back with Monica and Jeff of the Imani Winds to hear more about their program, which is tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Here's Terra Incognita by Wayne Shorter. That's Wayne Shorter's Terra Incognita, as performed on a recording from E1 that came out in 2010. That's from the Imani Winds, and Monica Ellis and Jeff Scott from Imani Winds are here in the studio, and they're preparing to play with their colleagues a full concert of music tonight starting at 7:30 p.m. It sounds like Wayne Shorter enjoyed writing that piece. There's so many colors, so many episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That
episodes. That's a great way to say it. Yeah, moments. That's, you know, he finds the moment and documents it. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. I think he had a good time.
Yeah, I think one of the great things that we found out when we started hanging out a little bit with Wayne is he's actually has this treasure trove of pieces that have never been performed. That he kind of gave us just a small glimpse at. I think if he lived to be 120, you'd still get new music from him annually. It's you don't even know how much is not yet heard.
It's like Prince.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yeah, you know. There you go. That's how is Wayne Shorter and Prince related? Like that.
Like that.
They're pure music.
Yes, yes.
And very productive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, so has Imani Winds, as I think I've tried to spell out this hour. This is a groundbreaking group that has brought so much to what classical music means today, and you can find Imani Winds on performance today. Their concert performances are broadcast there regularly. They tour around the world. I'm still thinking of your trip to New Zealand because I want to know which or how many of the group are science fiction fantasy nerds.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Valerie and Toyin, especially, and Toyin. I would say. They kind of lost it when we happenstance. It wasn't even a part of a trip. Came upon the turnoff for where The Hobbit was filmed, and we know that
Just the Lord of the Rings
was filmed was not exactly where we were, but The Hobbit, the movie, we actually did go to that set, and it is like being. It's like Hollywood. Like, this can't possibly be real, this vista that we're observing here. It was the most beautiful thing.
The most beautiful landscape you ever saw, and it was all real.
Jeff was saying, when we were just driving along the streets, because you see something beautiful every second, he said, this little row of ducks just kind of, this is no joke, like a mother duck and her little ducklings just kind of came upon us. And he says, there's somebody behind a screen somewhere saying, cue the ducks.
Cue ducks.
Cue the ducks. It's like, this can't be
impress
real.
The Americans,
right?
The best.
Really, and gorgeous people, by the way. The Maori culture is alive and well, and I mean, really amazing people.
Wonderful.
To only have 4 million people in the whole country.
The whole country,
yeah. Yep. So small country, but just really, really beautiful.
Well, I just heard a red-winged blackbird the other day. I think we could cue some red-winged blackbirds for you.
There you go. Right.
Here, maybe some muskrats.
Yep. All of that.
Crossing the road.
All of that. Just rolling hills. Yeah. Yeah. Mountains.
Well, I'm sorry your visit has to be so short. It's really great to touch base with Imani Wins once again. And this doesn't mean it will be the last time, does it?
No.
No, I hope not.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. If Martha Vargas has anything to do with it, it does not... It will not be the last time. And Brad Wong and everyone here at Western, it's just a real home away from home. Like you say, we're family. So it's great to be back.
Well, it's easy to keep track of Imani Wins through the website, imaniwins.com. And of course, just tune in to WMUK and listen for our music programs and performance today. You'll hear them there. And I hope you have a great time tonight. Enjoy yourself. Would you tell us about the final pieces on the program? We did touch on Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. It's going to be an amazing transcription for five players. Mm-hmm. The Contra Bajissimo by Piazzolla, in which Monica on bassoon will be really...
A whole lot of notes.
Working hard. Yeah. Then we have a guy a lot of musicians just love to love, this Gheorghe Ligeti. Interesting composer.
Yeah, I mean, it's as pretty much as standard as it gets for wind quintet, the Ligeti Six Bagatelles. Originally piano pieces, and just, you know, I think if you're going to have a touring wind quintet as a career choice, it's one of those pieces that you're going to be playing pretty often. So hope especially that the young wind musicians from here at WM come in here, especially to hear our rendition of that.
Yeah. Who is Rina Ismail?
Rina is an Indian-American young composer. She just finished getting her PhD at Yale, and she is a voice to watch. A really incredible musician. Crazily enough, we had not commissioned any women composers other than Valerie and Courtney just last year as well, up until now. And we said, that's not right. That's a problem. So, it actually was Toyin's idea to commission her, and she wrote this incredible piece called The Light is the Same. And it very much is indicative of her Indian culture, Hindustani scales that we play really form the piece, as well as some very intricate, rhythmically challenging stuff at the end that kind of brings it to a head. So it's beautiful. And then the last piece, Sigan, an original composition written by Valerie Coleman, not to be confused with Ravel's Sigan, kind of closes out the concert in a beautiful way. It shows the music of the Roma people, quote unquote, gypsy people of Eastern Europe. So it definitely has that sort of Eastern scale sound, and it's quite virtuosic and just a whole lot of fun to play and a great concert closer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here it is, 11 o'clock. That was a fast hour of music and conversation with Monica Ellis and Jeff Scott. Thank you so much. I can't wait for your concert tonight.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you.